Yo, 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 what's good, Mo? Welcome back to Disrupted. Here we are, week 10. I'm your co-host, Cameron Lewis. My co-host Larry is not with us this week. Has something important to attend to. So, you know how we do it, man. We just gonna jump right into it. This week was, you know, fun fact. We got a little bit of things this week for you, you know, some talk about the state of the NFL, some of the controversies in college and college football and college basketball. We're going to talk about some of the fast starts for some of the guys in the NBA this season. And we're going to also dip into the returns of some of the, you know, more notable players in the NBA this week. So you know how we do it, man. Fun fact of the week. On Sunday, Baltimore Ravens played the Cincinnati Bengals. They got a big win against those guys in their division. The Ravens, you know, keep soaring and stuff. But they ran a formation this week, and they nicknamed the formation the Heisman Package, and it featured three Heisman Trophy winners in one backfield. The Heisman Trophy winners, of course, was Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback, Mark Ingram, the starting running back, and RG3, Robert Griffin III, the backup quarterback. It's a one of a kind formation. First time ever that's been that many Heisman Trophy winners in one backfield. The play was, you know, very unique. They gained 12 yards, got a first down. But I thought it was, you know, very unique that Baltimore, they've been thinking about running this formation for a while now. They even went in practice and, like, you know, went over it a couple times. But just seeing three Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield, you can only just imagine what if those guys was playing at the potential they were playing at in college. Not necessarily all of the players, because Lamar's having an MVP-like season, and Mark Ingram is playing very well. Of course, RG3 is not starting, but it would just be – it's quite interesting to see, you know, that many players of that caliber in the same backfield at one time as a defense. It just might pit the fear of God in you. You know, seeing that many guys in the backfield at one time, you really don't know who's getting the ball. But nonetheless, it was fun seeing them line up like that. I heard Baltimore plans to use that formation as the season goes on. You know, we're hitting the backstretch of the season right now. But I wanted to mention that because, you know, we never, ever seen anything like that. And I'm glad that the Ravens incorporated all of their players like that. That was pretty nice. So let's go ahead and jump into the topic this week, man. First thing I want to talk about and discuss is no more unbeatens in the NFL. If you did watch the game last night, the San Francisco 49ers did take the L to the Seattle Seahawks at Levi Stadium in overtime. The Seahawks came in, you know, had a lot of turnovers, fought through adversity and actually got the win. The Seahawks are now, I think, 8-3, if I'm not 8-2 or 8-3, one of those. They have a great record right now. Their quarterback is an MVP candidate, if not the best MVP candidate. San Francisco still played well. You know, it's enough to win the game. It was just simple little small mistakes and stuff. Also, Garoppolo, he got hit a lot last night. Just something we haven't really seen from them this year. So that's something to keep in note. And if you ask me, it was a lot of drop passes last night, a couple that led to interceptions and stuff like that. So I think that the Niners was just a little rattled. Nonetheless, you know, they did play a great game, and it's one loss. You know, I'd rather lose to the Seahawks than to lose to somebody, you know, worse, somebody that's going to make you think to yourself, okay, yeah, we're not that good of a team because we lost to this team. You lost to a team that can possibly be playing in February this year, so I think that's something worth noting. But it's something about the Seattle team. This is not the first time this season they fought through adversity and came out on top, you know what I'm saying? Like, against the Bengals week one, you know, that was a hard-fought game. John Ross had probably his best game in his entire career. You know, they came out on top in that game. The game against the Saints, you know, that's the one game that I think they did lose. But the way they came back and fought and they almost won. This team is very resilient. And the person that's leading that team, Russell Wilson, he may very well be the MVP this season. It's a close race. But it's only three teams that I will worth mentioning for who's the best in the NFL. And that's two of the teams that played last night, and also the Baltimore Ravens. Now, who do I think is the best team out of those three teams? I would have to say Baltimore. And I say Baltimore because Baltimore has put together quite the roster. And they went all in on Lamar when nobody believed in him. And now his full potential is being shown. They've been virtually unstoppable this season. The few losses that they did have were against, one was against the Browns, and people considered the Browns not to be a great team. But the Browns, that was early in the season. They did play one of their best games. And then the other loss, of course, was against the Kansas City Chiefs at the time where Patrick Mahomes and those guys were firing on all cylinders. So, Baltimore's two losses virtually, losses, I feel like a learning curve losses. You just learn from those losses. Those wins that they have, though, are pretty tremendous. I mean, they knocked off New England to, upset the streak. They beat Seattle and Seattle. A lot of people don't win at CenturyLink Field. So I think Baltimore just has the edge over those two teams in an abundance of ways, defensively, offensively. I mean, they have the next Michael Vick. We haven't seen a guy like that since Michael Vick. And I think that's alarming to a lot of defenses. He's a nightmare. He's probably the hardest quarterback to prepare for. He can do so many things. His game has developed in a lot of ways, like passing. You seen week one, against the Dolphins. And don't get me wrong, the Dolphins are one of the worst teams in the league. But to see him throw for 300 yards, that's pretty impressive. And now they just, at this point in the stretch of the season, they're taking off. They're obviously one of the best teams in the NFL, and they can possibly be playing in February as well. So I think that's something worth mentioning and noting. And I do hope those respective teams continue to keep playing at the level that they're capable of. But for right now, I think Baltimore reigns as the best team in the league as of right now. Speaking of those teams, I want to ask about the edge in the MVP race between Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. To me, the race is, for a while, has been between those two guys. Pretty much since, I could say, probably week five, maybe even four. Up until that point, those guys have just played out of their minds. Russell Wilson, he leads the NFL in touchdowns, passer rating, I think, as well. They just beat an undefeated team. They have one of the best records in the NFL, and they're just playing tremendously well. Lamar Jackson as well. He also, he beat New England. He's beaten Seattle, the other MVP candidate. Actually, the first game that Seattle forced a turnover for Russell Wilson, he threw a pick six to Marcus Peters. So a lot of things ties into that. So if you ask me, just the way – I'm going to give you a two-week stretch of play that I can consider who's the best quarterback. Well, not best quarterback, but MVP runner. Well, who's going to be MVP and who's going to be the runner-up? Right now, I put Lamar Jackson in front to get the award, and I put Russell Wilson behind just based off of certain things. One, Lamar did beat New England, a team that we all thought were probably going to go undefeated. And if anybody did clip him up, we all thought it was going to be the Baltimore Ravens. And he also has a win against the other MVP candidate in Seattle, which is, like I said, extremely hard to do. A lot of people do not win there. And the Ravens are just, they're a powerhouse right now. And Russell Wilson, yes, he does have a lot of categories over Lamar and things like that. But I do agree that maybe he does have a chance. Russell Wilson has a chance to pass Lamar up. To me, if you ask me, Russell Wilson, some of his games have been, quite tremendous. Especially the one last night. You ask me, man, last night, him just fighting through adversity and playing hard like that, they were supposed to lose that game. And not only were they supposed to lose that game, but certain other guys started playing bad as well, you know. And Lamar Jackson, his worst game came, I believe, against I think his worst game to me came against against the Browns. I say the Browns. Cleveland, you know, played very well. But it's not really a bad game. A crazy, crazy bad game where you can say, oh, these guys are out of the race. Their worst games are better than half of the quarterbacks in the league. And that's what makes this race close. But Lamar just has a slight edge. But we still have so many more games left, and there's so many more things to intel about how this season will turn out. So there's something that's it's a wait-and-see kind of thing, you know. The Lakers and the Celtics. Let's talk a little bit of NBA right now. The Lakers and the Celtics are both respectively leading their conferences, Lakers in the West, Celtics in the East. First time we've seen something like that since, 2008, 2009, 2010, that era. And the Lakers, you know, they did lose to the Raptors in the little, you know, the streak they had going ended. They still, you know, played pretty well to win the game, but the Raptors was just a better team that night. And also the Celtics, you know, their only loss was against the Philadelphia 76ers on the first game of the night that they played. So they've won, they're 8-1 now. They've been on a hot, you know, hot start to the season. If you were to ask me who's the better team, I would probably tell you the Celtics. The Celtics is probably a better team. And I say this. The role players have played the best. You know, the role players have played the best. And that's Tatum, Hayward. Hayward broke his hand, but up until that point, Hayward had very good games. Like I did mention something about the Milwaukee Bucks game where he, you know, played crazy good, had 20 points, you know, great shooting, things like that. If you were to ask me, I think that Tatum could be an all-star this year. It could happen. The Lakers just – it seems like to me Bron and Davis are the only ones playing like crazy good. That can't happen every night if they want to win a championship. I think that those players, the role players, have to play very well. Dwight has stepped up. Dwight has been probably the most consistent player off the bench. They haven't gotten Rondo back and things, you know, that kind of stuff. But trust me, if they want to win a championship, it can't just be Bron and Davis every night. You know, somebody other than Dwight Howard has to step up and play at the max level that we know that they can play at. They have role players that have been on championship-type teams and stuff like that. We know it can happen. It's just a matter of time of when it's going to happen. Don't let it happen, you know, in April when all the season has passed by and they end up struggling because of it. You know, something like that has to give now. On the other hand, you know, like I said, the Celtics role players have been playing very well. You know, guys stepping up, playing crazy good. So they're 8-1. I mean, the Lakers are 7-2. Just it's one more win, but like I said, I think a lot of success in basketball comes down to the guys you don't mention all the time. When you think about the Celtics, first name you're gonna mention, Kemba, you know, the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns. Nah, we need to mention the Marcus Smarts, you know, those guys, the Casey Edwards, those people that step up. That's going to make a difference when it comes down to winning the championship, because every championship has an unsung hero. So right now, the Celtics, just because of the record and the way they've been playing on the street, I think that they have the edge over Los Angeles. Like, they lost the other night to the Raptors. LeBron only had 13. He did have a triple-double, but that's my point. If Bron is struggling and Davis is putting up mediocre numbers, which we are, you know, not accustomed to him doing, they're going to lose. And that just can't happen. So right now I think the Celtics have the slight edge, but an edge over Los Angeles at the moment. Andrew Wiggins and Drummond, two players I've, you know, noticed during this season that have had a hot start to what's going on and stuff like that, especially Wiggins. You know, Wiggins is playing at a level where he might have a bit of consideration to make the All-Star team. Let me just give you a rundown of his last four games. He had 36-2. He had 45-7. He had 25-4-5. 33-6-5. Second category being the rebounds. Third being steals and assists. But I can't remember the last time Wiggins has played this consistent. I don't even think he has played this consistent in his entire career. And the Timberwolves are winning. So, and then Drummond, his last five games, 21-22, 3 assists, 0 steals, 1 block, 25 points, 24 rebounds. So back-to-back 20-20 games. He had 3 blocks as well. Then he had 25-20-6. So 3 games in a row with 20-20. And then after that, he had 15 points, 24 rebounds, 5 assists. And then he had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. Anybody who knows me knows Drummond is my favorite center in the NBA. I get a lot of crap for it because, you know, Drummond is not your typical shooter or, you know, the lights-out guy that's going to spread the floor. But I'm cool with that. You don't got a lot of guys that bang down low no more like the old, you know, the back of the days. Because if Drummond played in the 2000s, he'd be praised. He'd be one of the best guys in the league, you know. I think Wiggins will make the All-Star team this year. I'm not as concerned about Drummond making it because he already made an All-Star team. He'll probably get in still, though. Because Joel hasn't played better than him this season, necessarily. So I think that both players will get in. But I'm more excited to see if Wiggins will get in because we've just been waiting for this. Number one pick, man, you know. Sometimes you got to wait a little longer for that splurge. But what a better chance now than, you know, in the past. He did just recently get paid, so you might as well play for what you're worth, right? But Drummond, I think he deserves a lot more credit because he's not shooting threes. All these points you see him getting, strictly inside. There's not any, you know, real three-point shooting from him. And Detroit is a very resilient team. And not saying he has to carry the team, but him playing at that high level, I just always appreciated seeing it because he's not a shooter. He's probably the only player of his kind now in the NBA that can do that, put up, you know, 20-20 games like that. Because, you know, Boogie don't do it no more. And AD is the only other guy, but AD is a power forward. So, you know, those two players need a lot of recognition for how they've been playing. Plus, they were contributing big to their teams, and their teams are winning. Two franchises that aren't used to winning in recent memory, if you ask me. And Giannis, can Giannis repeat his MVP? That's the question. Or will James Harden, you know, get the award? Now, Giannis, the Bucks, no surprise, they're winning. Top 5 in the East, right? Giannis has been playing pretty insane as well. In his last 5 games, 36-15-8, 34-15-6, so back-to-back 30-15 games, 38-16-9, so that's 3 games in a row with at least 30-15. Then he had 30-13-4, 35-16-3. This man is averaging roughly 30 points and 12 rebounds a game. What can you say, right? Now, do I think he has a chance to win MVP? Yes, I do. Now that we know Chris Middleton is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with a right leg contusion, I do think Giannis Antetokounmpo can put together another MVP caliber season, possibly, you know, hopefully leading the Bucks to the finals. I do want to see them playing in June, but, you know, you can't get everything you wish for. Plus, I think Milwaukee took a bit of a step back. They did lose Michael Brogdon, you know, and they did pick up one of the Lopez brothers, so they actually have two brothers on the team, actually two sets of brothers. That's weird. They have two Antetokounmpo brothers, and they have two Lopez brothers. So, team full of brothers. But I think, to me, I think Giannis will have another MVP-type season. Right now, my vote is Bron. Just because he's playing at that level and the man is past 32 years old, 32 years of age, that's not normal, you know. It's obvious that Bron is just a different breed. So right now, I think Bron is a front runner. But the way Giannis has been playing, you cannot leave him out of the conversation. And Harden is also putting up crazy numbers. We all know the game he had against the Wizards, my Wizards. I think he had like 60 points. That's crazy. But I think Harden numbers comes a lot from him having the ball as much and being the ISO guy, you know. When he gets the ball, people tend to just move out the way and let him work his magic. And, you know, not saying that that's a bad thing, but it may be considered a bit bad now that you have Russell Westbrook on the team, who is a triple-double king and also another player known for scoring crazy amounts of points and stuff like that. But can't be mad at them, right? They're winning. I think they're 7-3, third in the West. So they're putting in work. You know, they're doing their thing over there in Houston. I think it's worth mentioning, though, that Giannis is doing this on crazy field goal percentage, and he's missing his second-best player. Harden has all his guys. He has Clint Capella, yeah, PJ, Russ, Eric Gordon. Nobody's out, and he's doing that. But at the same time, Chris Middleton is your second-best player. He's gone. Who is your third best? Definitely a role player. I can tell you that. To me, I think that if you give me three players to pick on the list, Bron first, Giannis second, Harden third. That's why I go with that one. I don't think it's any other players that can possibly get on that list. I don't think it's any players right now that can possibly, you know, get on that list and have a chance to, you know, have an MVP-type season. Devin Booker, I mean, I've always liked Devin Booker, and the Suns are winning. You could try to consider him, but I don't. 25 points a game, Devin Booker can do that any year. I feel like he has to have a year where he puts up maybe like 30, scorching hot, you know, averaging like 6 assists, you know, 6 rebounds, something crazy. But I think right now it's just three guys: Giannis, Harden, and Bron. Paul George and Blake Griffin returns. Paul George will be returning Thursday against the New Orleans Pelicans. And Blake returned last night against the Wolves. He had 19 points on 50% shooting, 7 boards, 6 assists. I'm glad Blake back. You know, the Pistons can finally play at the level that I know they can play at. Definitely one of my favorite teams to watch in the NBA. I've always been a big Blake fan. As you know, I am a big Drummond fan, so, you know. It's fun to see a two-way punch in the front court. That, you know, to get, you know, pit that work down, bang down low, and get the tough buckets. You know, people don't usually get no more. Everybody's shooter. So, Blake, 50% shooting, I think, is okay. He definitely needs more shots. But once I said, you know, he just came back, so there's something that we're gonna have to kind of jump him into and things like that. PG, I do not expect a big game from PG coming back. The team has already gotten to kind of a rhythm where, you know, they know the focal point and things are going well. They're winning. So, PG, I think PG would have to work his way back into, you know, into the rotation to kind of develop his role or whatever his role may be on the Los Angeles Clippers. But it's definitely going to be fun to see. I can't wait till Thursday to see him play. And I hope everything goes well for him. Going to talk about the Dion Waiters incident. Now, I'm not going to bash him or anything. I'm just going to speak on what we know as of right now. So the first initial report was that he overdosed on gummies on the plane, and he had like a seizure or something like that. The Miami Heat cleared it up. He had a THC-infused gummy bear. we know what that is, but it was an edible. He did freak out, and, you know, the team suspended him for 10 games without pay. Now, Deion Waiters is a player that I do pay attention to, a lot of attention to, ever since his days in Philly and then OKC and then, you know, now in Miami. This is one of those incidents, it's kind of weird, but it's not that serious. I don't believe it's that serious, you know. They did have to suspend him just off the principle, you know, that he did do that, and, you know, you freak out and you get 10 games for, you know, eating edible gummies. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I just don't. We know a lot of things in the NBA are just, like, this drug policy thing. I'm a firm believer that, you know, marijuana-infused things shouldn't be, you know, that big of a deal. Now, if somebody is doping, you know, shooting themselves up with steroids or using growth hormones, then by all means, suspend them, you know, punish them for what they're doing. But Deion Waiters, I think what got Deion Waiters in trouble for real is the fact that he did not snitch on who he said gave him the gummy. And at that point, he just been real, you know. I'm pretty sure the Miami Heat know his demeanor and how he rose. He wasn't going to give up his teammate like that. We all seen what happened years ago with D'Angelo Russell and the Nick Young stuff with Iggy Azalea. You know, we know how that goes, you know. So he's just been him, a good teammate, not telling on his teammates and stuff like that. You know, take the blame for what happened with him, and he took his consequences on the chin. You know, take your 10 games and, you know, keep it moving. You know, season's still a long season. You can still contribute to the team. We know he can. So I think this is one situation that just, it got, you know, it has to go on. You know, just let it go. And then Chase Young and James Wiseman. Chase Young, the DN for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and then James Wiseman, the guy on Memphis, the number one potential number one overall pick. You know, high praise for those both. You know, both of those guys who can possibly be top five. Well, probably both of those guys would be top five picks in their respective sports, but they both got hit with NCAA. Sanctions and stuff like that. Chase Young received money from a family friend, and, you know, NCAA locked down on him. And then Wiseman was receiving benefits from, you know, current head coach of the Memphis basketball team, Penny Hardaway. And NCAA labeled him as a booster. You shouldn't get punished because somebody wants to help your family, you know. I don't understand that. You know, he's giving this kid a great chance for him and his parents to move out of a rough neighborhood and get a better life. Why should he get punished for that? You know, sometimes I do think, I don't understand why the NCAA operates the way they do, but now you can definitely see why people go overseas. You can see why people try to get around going straight to college basketball so they can go to the pros. The way the NCAA does things is just, it has to be amended in some ways. Matter of fact, not some way, a lot of ways. And you can start by paying. When the players start getting paid and stuff like that, you can start right there. And then we're going to start with all the extra stuff that has nothing to do with, you know, anything. That's a logical thing with me. If he's getting help from a family member, or he's getting help to get out of a bad situation and get his family into a more prominent situation, logically, that shouldn't even be a punishable thing. That should be something that should be encouraged, helping one another, you know, not seeing your players, you know, down, or seeing somebody in a rut where they can't continue doing something that they love to do. I think that's something that needs to be looked into, but I'm not going to rant on it too much about it. People know how I feel about it. But I'm for all those guys that are in that situation, and necessarily these two players as well. I'm all behind. I'm 100% behind their choices and what they, you know, did. I don't think they should be punished as much as they, you know, been facing. Wiseman, actually, they gave him the clear to play. Chase Young, they're trying to give him 4 games, so it's a wait and see thing, but I don't agree. And we're going to do our rundowns for the NFL Week 10 this week, our picks. Now, last week I went 3-10. I lost 10 games. I don't know how, but I believe last week I was going to go undefeated, and I lost pretty much every game. So I've been a little more conservative this week. I got the Browns winning on Thursday. I have the Redskins winning on Sunday. Dwayne Haskins, first home game starting. I got the Jags against the Colts. I have the Bills against the Dolphins. I have the Lions against the Cowboys. I've chose the Ravens over the Houston Texans. I've chosen Carolina Panthers over the Atlanta Falcons. I picked the New Orleans Saints over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I chose the Minnesota Vikings over the Denver Broncos. I've chose the San Francisco 49ers over the Arizona Cardinals. I picked the New England Patriots over the Philadelphia Eagles. I picked the Oakland Raiders against the Cincinnati Bengals. I also picked the LA Rams against the Chicago Bears. And then the Monday night game, I picked Kansas City Chiefs over the Los Angeles Chargers at Carson City Stadium, whatever they call that. And that's all we have for the week. Couple shout outs to the RMU football team. Great win over Duquesne. Best of luck to those guys in their next game against Central Connecticut. And also, the first game at the UPMC Event Center tonight, the RMU men's basketball team will be going against the Pittsburgh Panthers. Make sure you guys get over there to that event. If you got your tickets, you know they did sell out. So, you know, if you don't get a ticket, don't worry, don't panic. You know, you can always watch it on ESPN U, I believe. And if you can't watch it there, Nicholson Lawn Center, they're having a big screen event, you know, got food out there, free t-shirts. So, you know, y'all pop out and go, you know, represent if you can. You know, it's going to be cold out there, so bundle up. I thank you guys for tuning in. This is Disrupted. I'm Cameron Lewis, and next week we're going to get into some more things. But y'all know I love y'all for supporting me, man. Peace out.